Psalm 91. We'll be reading the entire psalm. As you are able, please rise for the reading of God's holy word. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. It's fun to watch a little child seek out and cling to a stranger's leg in a crowd, isn't it? Especially when it's an unfamiliar crowd. They feel insecure, and they are seeking their parent for security. But when they look up, they're horrified to discover that it isn't mom or dad whose leg that they're clinging to. When a child finally finds their mom or their dad, they cling to their legs and absolutely refuse to let them go. They may even want to be picked up when they realize that they aren't clinging to their parent in the midst of a crowd. Have you ever sought refuge and safety in your parents' arms? Now, I recognize that for some of us, that's a long, long time ago. Did you ever find yourself going to a stranger and clinging to them only to realize that it wasn't your mom or your dad? Maybe you had some child, someone else's child, come up to you and tug on your pants and cling to you and look up, and you saw that look of horror in their eyes as they recognized that you're not dad, you're not mom. It's funny to see their surprise when they realize that you aren't dad. In our text, like a child seeking their parent for security, God's children find their hope and security in God, who protects them and provides for them a safe place to rest. Last week, we began our look at Psalm 91, and we did not get through the entirety of the psalm. Psalm 91 is the second psalm of Book 4, which begins with Psalm 90. As you know, the psalms are divided into 100, or there are 150 psalms divided into five different books, written by five different authors. And the book of Psalms are wonderful because they give expression to every human emotion. It's a book of worship, a book of remembrance. So many of the psalms are reminders of the work that God did among His people and the work that God did for His people as He at times delivered them out of Egypt into the promised land, as He delivered them from the oppression of their enemies. There are psalms in there that deal with the distress of the soul, as Psalm 88 ends with something like, "All my friends just left me." Not a great sense of encouragement. And yet, there is this attachment, there's this connection, there's this connection that we can have with the Psalms. For no matter which one of the Psalms we read, we begin to recognize, hey, you know, if I haven't been feeling this way now, I certainly have understood this feeling before. Two of the key themes that are found in the book of Psalms, as mirrored in Psalm 1 and in Psalm 2, is the idea of the Messiah, the one who delights in the law of God, who shall be blessed, and then also that idea of kingship. The Lord sits in his heavens and laughs. The Messiah rules by the law, by the Torah, by the standard of his judgments. And the purpose of these Psalms is to encourage you and to strengthen you, especially in times of weakness and in times of difficulty. And our Psalm, Psalm 91, is no different. As the psalmist looks upon God, Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, and he finds that God, finds his security in God who will bring his people safely through this life into glory. This psalm begins with this great declaration, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You have the picture of refuge and security and of a fortress in the second verse. He, the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. You see, the psalmist makes this confession, finding his refuge in God. In those first two verses, I remind you that there are four names of God listed there for us, or God is called by these four names: Elyon, the Most High, the one who is exalted above everything else. This name refers to his sovereignty, to his supremacy. It's related to his position as opposed to everything else. The second name that in whom the psalmist finds refuge is Shaddai, the Almighty One. It focuses on God's omnipotence, on his power, on his strength, and his ability to be able to protect his people. The third name of God is Yahweh, I am that I am, referring to God's self-existence, that he was and is and is to come, that he has no beginning, will have no end. Time for God in this sense is meaningless because he is eternal. He is not created. He always was in existence. And the final name is Elohim, referring to God as the creator, the one who is mighty and strong, related to his person, to who he is, in distinction from man. And it is this God, Elyon, Shaddai, Yahweh, Elohim, Almighty, Most High, I am God, in whom the psalmist finds his refuge and his strength. He trusts God to deliver him. In verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, from the hidden dangers, those consequences of sin, those traps that are set for us, whether by others or by Satan himself. The Lord springs us from those traps, but he also delivers us from unseen dangers, the perilous pestilence, that curse upon creation. And in the Most High Almighty, I am who is God, the believer finds security. He finds cover under his feathers, a place of warmth, a place of safety, a place of protection. For under his wings you shall take refuge, and his truth shall be your protection through this life. The psalmist says, keep your eyes fixed upon God and receive his words, and like a shield and like a buckler, they will deflect away all harm that might come to you and toward you. Or like a wall, it is a hedge. God is a hedge interposed between the believer and the danger in order that he might protect you. You saw last time that God, the believers find their security in God, who brings them safely through this life to glory. And by God's grace, I will show you this evening that believers have no need to fear in this life, for they will see God's salvation. You'll see, first of all, the believer's confidence, and second, the believer's hope. First of all, the believer's confidence. Verse 5, "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." You see, the believer is confident that the Lord will deliver him. The Lord delivers his people from dangers and terrors that surround them. Why? Because they trust in him. You shall not be afraid. You shall not fear. You do not have to cower in a corner or under a desk or under a chair. Why not? Why do you not have to fear? What do you not have to fear? You do not have to fear the terror by night. You know, your fears are exaggerated at night, aren't they? Especially if you're in a strange place and you hear a strange bump in the night. What is that? Or you hear the door creaking or the floor groaning and you say, "Who's that? Who's coming?" The psalmist says, you do not have to be afraid of the terror by night, of the things that take place in the darkness. Not even the enemy that comes and approaches at night and seeks your destruction. For as these fears are exaggerated, there is unexpected and unanticipated adversity strikes in darkness. And I think that's something that we can relate to in some ways here in Oklahoma, isn't it? You know that tornadoes is one of the things that Oklahoma is well known for. And tornadoes strike at any time, day or night. And as you hear, I've not been through one, but I've been close to one, and I've seen the results of these tornadoes, and you hear what sounds like a roar of thunder. It's coming through, a roaring train coming through. And it's one thing to see it in the daytime and say, well, there's the funnel. But it's another thing to hear that roar come through in the night. And then you're like, well, where are the tornado sirens? Why aren't they sounding a warning? The psalmist says, you don't need to be afraid of those things. You don't need to be afraid of the unanticipated effects of the curse of sin, the disease or sickness. It is not the way that it should be. Yet those who are in God are confident that he will deliver them from these things. And he says, you do not have to be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. You see, the arrows are obvious dangers. You can see and hear the arrow whistling through the air as it flies toward the enemy. Arrows are shot in the daytime. They're not shot at night. They're shot at targets in the heat of battle. And what does the psalmist say? Those arrows will fly by. They will not hit home. You don't have to worry about them. They'll fly to your right and to your left, over and in front of you, but they will not strike you. Why? Because Elyon Shaddai, Yahweh, Most High, Almighty God, the one who is the great I Am, will deliver you. But not only do you have to worry about or not be afraid of those things, He reiterates in different pictures in verse 6, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. Again, these are the hidden dangers that were referred to in verse 3. The consequences of sin upon the world. The curse of sin in the lives of the people. You don't have to be afraid of disease, of sickness. For the Lord is your strength, the Lord is your comfort, and he will interpose himself between you. And you do not have to be afraid of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Literally, you don't have to worry about the sting that devastates at noon. Again, the psalmist is emphasizing that you have nothing to be afraid of, because God, who is above all things, is on your side. whether it's in the night, at noon, or in the day, God is there. But notice something. Notice that the believer is not taken away from the dangers, from the diseases, from the disappointments, but that he moves through them safely because of God's sovereign protecting hand. Yes, brothers and sisters, we will face disease and dangers, and some of us have been afflicted by these things, and some of us know how difficult these trials can be. But you don't have to be afraid, because underneath are the everlasting arms of God, who will pick you up and keep you from falling. You see, the believer is confident in the Lord's deliverance, but he also has victory in the deliverance. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. You see, he is confident of the victory. The picture is that of a battle, the imagery of enemies and comrades running and falling, slain on all sides. They fall to the left and they fall to the right. 10,000 may fall. Death seems imminent. You're about to be overrun by the enemy, but you don't have to be afraid, because the Lord protects you. The Lord keeps you. As the psalmist says, and it shall not come near you. That's the hope. That's the confidence that the believer has, that you have in the sovereign God who watches over you. Instead, what will you see? Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. You will see with your own eyes that the enemy, your enemy, the enemy of our God, is vanquished. You will be the victor in the strength that God gives. When all the odds appear to be stacked against you, and the enemies are lined up on every side, and all the news is bad from the doctors, you don't have to turn and run in defeat, because God will turn what appears to be certain defeat into victory. For the one who dwells with God, the one who finds God as his refuge and his strength, will himself see the Lord's victory, the Lord's deliverance. And brothers and sisters, you will see that deliverance and that victory one day, when you stand before the throne of heaven, and there you see the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, the one whose hands were pierced and feet were pierced, who bled upon the cross and suffered and died, our Lord and Savior. For then you will see the ultimate and the true victory that is for those who are in Christ. That's the victory of the believer. That's what you will see one day when you trust in Jesus as Lord and as Savior. And that's the confidence and the strength that you can have as you face these difficulties, as you go through life, as you endure the sorrows of the curse of sin upon the world. And what is the reward of the wicked that you will see? In a sense, it's the seeing of their end. What have the wicked gained from all their wickedness? They have gained nothing but sorrow and strife. It's not a reward in the sense of an award, of something that is good, of something that gets you ahead. It's a reward in the sense of receiving the just judgment of God. Remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 73, as he was looking about at the world around him, and he could not understand, how come the wicked are flourishing and the righteous are suffering? How can that be, Lord? It's not fair. It's not right. It's not the way that it should be. He says, behold, in Psalm 73, behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. He says, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. But it was only when the psalmist turned his eyes away from the difficulty and the sorrow that he was facing, and he looked to the sanctuary of God, and he looked to God until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakens. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. What does Psalm 91 say? You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. You shall understand the end of the wicked. For the reward of the wicked is their just condemnation according to the law of God. It is the receiving of the eternal wrath of God forever. It is forever apart from the glory and majesty of God, only weeping and gnashing of teeth and hating but God, because they know that God is just and they have received God's justice. But the psalmist is also confident because of the source of his deliverance. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. What is the source of this deliverance? What is the source of the confidence? He says, you have made the Lord your refuge. You have rested in the Most High. You have sought safety and security with God, not in the things of this world, but in the one who is almighty. God is the source of your deliverance. The Christian trusts in God, sets his hope on God's promises, receives the Messiah as Lord and as Savior by the power of his Spirit alone. You see, the believer flees to God, not away from him. He flees to the safety and shelter and security that can be found in God alone, not from it. Brothers and sisters, where do you flee when you face difficulty and trial? Where do you flee when you can't carry on? The believer embraces Christ alone for salvation and thus has made the Lord his refuge. And so all the terrors that come by night, all the arrows that fly by day, the pestilence and the destruction, they fall by the wayside. You see, the believer has made the Most High his dwelling place. The Most High is the place where the believer, as it were, hangs their hat and goes to rest at night. The dwelling place is where you go regularly, where you find security and safety. And it is the Most High who is, as it were, your home, the place where you love and you long to be. The idea here of dwelling with the Lord has that idea of seeking to do what pleases the Most High. A desire to be more like Christ. Brothers and sisters and friends, are you dwelling with the Most High? Are you seeking to be more like Christ in everything that you do and in everything that you say? And what is the result from making the Most High your dwelling place? The psalmist says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling place. The idea here is that evil shall not overtake you. It shall not overcome you. It shall not overwhelm you. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. There's this comprehensive protection that God himself provides from the obvious dangers. The sin of others toward us, the evil caused by others, the consequences of sin, but also from the unseen dangers, the result of the curse on sin, the curse upon creation. No evil shall befall you. Now, we look and we say, that, well, what does that mean? We're still afflicted with diseases and with sicknesses and with cancers and growths. And we have to undergo surgery and pain. Well, brothers and sisters, we still live under the curse of sin. But the curse of sin will not rule us, will not master us, and will not overtake you. For you will be delivered from it. For you see, as Paul wrote to the church in Romans, you are to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God in Christ. For in Christ you have your life. In Christ you no evil shall befall you. Yes, you will face difficulties and trials. Remember what Jesus prayed for his disciples in his prayer in John chapter 17. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. To become a Christian does not mean that you're going to live a life in which you are not going to face affliction. You're not going to face sorrow or pain in this life. But in the life that is to come, all those things will be gone. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sin. When you will be in the throne room of God Himself, beholding the one who loved you, the one who gave himself for you, the one who makes intercession for you. You see, this is the believer's confidence in God who loved you and sent his son for you. You see, believers have no need to fear in this life, for they will see the salvation of God. Brothers and sisters, what do you fear? Some of you have recently gone through some trials and difficulties. We think of our dear brother, who's not been feeling well for some time, went for a test, half an hour later was told to come back, and 2 days later was having surgery. His hope and his trust and his confidence is in the Lord. That's what he has expressed to me. What a wonderful testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, is that your comfort and your hope? And if you do not know the Lord, then I plead with you, come to Christ. Rest in Christ. Lean on Him. For only in Christ will you see deliverance. Will you see the reward of the wicked, of those who have turned away from God Himself. Brothers and sisters, once again, you have no need to fear, for you will see God's salvation. The last verses are going to focus us on the believer's hope, and I'm going to have to look at that next time. Rest, not in yourselves, but rest in Christ, who gave himself for you, that you might have life and have it abundantly. Let us pray.